Hey everyone, welcome to the second episode of Creators Chat. This one was really cool for me for a couple of reasons. First, I got to interview Iron Wolf, the very first creator I started following. And second, my guest host for this one had some last minute scheduling issues, and I was joined instead by our very first guest, Lightning Lloyd, Lloyd Ellett, as a guest host. It was really a lot of fun. Let's just jump right into it.
Hey Lloyd. So first of all, thank you for doing this podcast with me, because like my guest co-host that was supposed to do it backed out like an hour before, and you are our first guest, and so I gave you a call, and thanks for stepping up.
Yeah, I was happy to do it, and you know, you've always got to stay ready. or be ready so you don't have to get ready.
I'm glad you're here, because I'm sure you noticed I was a little starstruck on this one, because like, Iron Wolf was the first guy I started following, and it's like, you know, he's badass, and I didn't want to be all alone.
Yeah, I was excited to see what I could kind of pick up from him as well, to be honest, and hear about his story, how he does everything.
Kind of crazy to think. I mean, he talks about, you know, being super undisciplined, and then like it's like he flipped a switch when he joined the military.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive. It's just a real turnaround. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was a little surprised. You know, I knew he was hardcore, and I knew, you know, we'd learn a lot. He was actually really funny.
Yeah, he was like, he was a character. Yeah, he was funny. He had some like banter with the whole no fucking excuses.
no one gives a fuck.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Well, let's just jump into it. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Nice one. Looking forward to hearing it.
All right. Thanks.
This is Creators Chat, brought to you by If You, I Will, the perfect app for creating challenges, contests, and accountability. Every week, we interview internet creators to find out how they started, what drives them, and how they challenge themselves and their audience. I'm Peter.
And I'm Lloyd.
And it's time to meet our guest. All right, I'm excited about this one. So joining us today is United States Marine Gunnery Sergeant Art Schwartzberg. Boy, I stumbled over that, didn't I?
Yeah, it's all right. Everybody does. Don't worry about it.
Schwartzberg. The Iron Wolf.
In the house, everybody knows who that is.
Oh, yeah. I've been such a huge fan, Art. I've been following you since quarantine. And just to know your reach, I have a friend here. I'm living in Mallorca, Spain. And quarantine hit us hard. We weren't able to get out. And I have a friend here in Spain said, hey, I'm following this guy. He's a U.S. Marine, and he does killer workouts. You can't finish him. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Sure, I can't finish him. So he sends me your workout, and you destroyed me. And I became just addicted to it. And I think you had like 50,000 followers now. I think you're like 160 now.
157 right now. 157K. Well,
That's. I mean, that was a huge jump, just like within the year, right? It's been crazy.
It's been a good jump. More people are jumping on board. It did grow significantly during COVID, just because of, you know, the gyms being locked down and people being inside. So that kind of training, you know, it appealed to them. But even right now, people are still, you know, doing my routines. They're not going to the gyms. They're doing the calisthenics at home, and I get constant messages from all over the world, which is really exciting to me, to hear people from, you know, Morocco, Algier, Uganda, just crazy places, Nepal, and, you know, guys saying like, yeah, we out here training, you know, we out here training, small villages in South America. I always get, you know, clips and messages, and you know the reach is really interesting to me, and that's what I wanted to build upon. The community is bringing people together and getting them to train and have a common ground where, you know, we take out all the ego, we take out all the excuses, you know, leave that shit behind, you know, accept the fact that, you know, nobody cares about your excuses. Nobody really does. You know, my motto, I don't know if I could curse on this podcast.
You can say whatever you want. Nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah. That was kind of like my motto, you know. It's like, and it's not to be like mean to people or anything, but it's just it's like a reality check. You got to really understand that like nobody gives a fuck, and the only person that is going to help you out is staring at you in the mirror. So get to it. So that's kind of the mindset that I wanted to instill. You know, you have to be a self-starter. You have to be able to understand what self-leadership is. You have to lead yourself. That's really the hardest part. That is the most difficult type of leadership.
I can't wait to get into that, but I actually want to know how you got here. So, I mean, it would be great to hear about your background. I know you, I think I read that you immigrated from Russia as a really young kid.
Yeah, so my parents immigrated from Russia to Brooklyn, New York when I was 7 years old. So I grew up in Brooklyn. Was not a great kid. Honestly, I gave my mother a lot of heartache. My parents are very, old school, traditional Russian parents. And, as soon as I got to Brooklyn and then as soon as I became a teenager, it was just like letting the tiger out the cage. He's like running around the city, doing a lot of, dumb stuff that I look back at now. And it's like, I'm embarrassed that, I acted that way. But, hindsight is always 20/20. And I decided that I needed some kind of discipline when I was a young man. So I started looking into the military. I looked into, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. Nothing really appealed to me because they look kind of soft. So I was like, I like the Marine Corps. I like the structure of the Marine Corps. It's tough. Like they have that discipline. They're the most squared away. They're the most physically fit. So that really enticed me to join the Marine Corps. So I joined the Marine Corps in 2006, May 2nd. I shipped to a boot camp. Went through boot camp, and that's really after boot camp when I got to my first unit. That's really when my physical fitness journey started to grow. So, we were doing a lot of calisthenics in the Marine Corps. Your basic military stuff. Your pull-ups, your push-ups, your running, your sit-ups. Stuff like that, and I threw in some weights. I was lifting weights back then too, actually more than I was doing calisthenics because all the guys were doing it. You would have your morning PT, which is your physical training. You would go run or you would do your sets of calisthenics, and it was that wrapped up for the day, and then it was kind of on your own time in the evening. Everybody would go to the gym and they would lift weights. So. As a young kid, I just followed like my sergeants. They're like, let's go. And I was, benching and curling and, doing all the stuff they were doing, trying to get like, jacked and, look as big as I can, like in uniform. But it never appealed to me. I was doing it because my sergeants were doing it. I wasn't really doing it because it's something that interested me. What really, really started the calisthenics thing, I was deployed to Afghanistan in 2009. We were at this patrol base, really like deep in the heart of Helmand Province. And we had nothing at this patrol base. So you got to understand like what a patrol base is. It's just meant for Marines to go out, patrol, make contact with the enemy and come back. It's like a bare bones base. Usually it's like a lot of sandbags and like some barriers around, a couple of tents. And there's really nothing to it. So I was like, I need to stay in shape. I had some of my Marines under me at that time. I was a corporal. I was like, hey, we got to stay in shape. There's some way we got to be in shape. So like, all right, let's start doing, push-ups, squats, lunges, let's do calisthenics, eight-count bodybuilders, things like that. We built a pull-up bar and dip bar. So we started hitting that. We would put on our body armor. We would do like our pull-ups and dips and push-ups with our body armor. And I got so addicted to that feeling of doing like high rep calisthenics, and all my guys seen better results. They were coming to me and saying like, I feel a lot better than lifting weights. I don't even miss weights. At that time, I wasn't doing like the burpees I'm doing now. I was doing the 8-count bodybuilders. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
Oh, yeah.
By the number.
Yeah. Yeah, you've given us those before. They're not easy.
Yeah, Marine Corps 8-count bodybuilders, you're going by the numbers. You're training your Marines, you're going down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, down, 1, 2, 3, 4. Everything's by the numbers. So I was doing that, and I was doing more 8-count bodybuilders than anything else. And I was really in the best shape that I have been. I was like, I don't miss weight. This is great. It's effective. I'm getting cut up. I'm building muscle. My conditioning is good. My physical fitness is really good. I'm confident, you know, that when I go outside the wire and we got to take care of business, that I'm good to go. You know, I'm fit. I'm not a liability. So that was really my main motivator to stay fit at that time. And as I got back to the States, I did not want to go back to the gym. I had no desire to go back to the gym. So I kept the same routines that I was doing at the patrol base in Afghanistan. I would work out outside the gym. They had like a pull-up bar, and everybody would I would go to the gym with my friends, and they would go inside, and they're like, are you coming in? I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, I got this, like, set. They had like the pull-up bars outside the gym and the dip bars at the Marine Corps base, and I would just train outside in the dirt. I would put, like, you know, like a shirt down, and I would do like my push-ups and pull-ups. I would just do it sparring style, and I just enjoyed it. And I like the long workouts. I like being outside too. I like training in the elements. I think that's sometimes what people miss, is that you become a lot more grounded when you train outside. Your mind becomes a lot more clear than being inside a gym with, you know, a lot of people, a lot of music, a lot of distractions. Everybody's looking at their phone. Everybody's looking at each other. Everyone's checking out the girls. And, you know, your workout goes to shit. When you come out there, it's just you versus you. You said, let's go. I made this commitment. I made this routine, and I'm going to do it. And you got the element. It just feels more authentic to do those kind of routines outside. And you're pushing through, and you're looking around, and there's nobody to help you. There's nothing to distract you, nothing for your mind to wander. And there's that mental aspect of training that we forget is, you know, it's so important, is to be able to really dial in and push through those barriers, to push through that threshold. And how do you do it? You put yourself in uncomfortable situations. You bully yourself so others can't. Start bullying yourself. Start putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. It's cold outside. Who gives a fuck? Put on a sweatshirt. Go fucking run. You'll be fine. Oh, it's hot outside? Not too fucking bad, you know? Go train. The work still has to get done. It doesn't matter. Once you start taking out all the excuses out of the equation, everything will be a lot more simpler in your life. And that goes out with everything. Take everything out the equation. Just make it, this is it. This is what I got to do, and I'm doing it. Bottom line. And that's what I started doing to myself. I started bullying myself, and everything just became a lot more clear with the high rep calisthenics, with the high rep burpees.
That's impressive.
Art, have you found that, you know, that's a lot of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that one of the things I think is really cool about your story is you mentioned not being a disciplined kid, but then instead of blaming everybody else, you something inside of you was definitely saying, I have accountability here. Like, the world doesn't owe me anything.
Yeah.
And has that mindset and that discipline creeped into other parts of your life? Are you disciplined in other ways besides your workouts? Have you found that it's...
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Discipline is not just towards physical fitness. Discipline is, you know, how you carry yourself, how you conduct yourself with other people. If you give your word, you keep it. You're disciplined with that. You're disciplined with your daily routine. And it's simple as, you know, waking up, you know, making the bed, cleaning your place up, you know, putting shit away, being disciplined with your diet. Being disciplined with any kind of impulse that you have. You know, we all have some kind of impulse that, you know, like, it's like, man, this is hard to control sometimes. You know, I don't know why I act like that. Discipline has to carry into every aspect of your life. You have to be aware of it. That's the thing. You have to understand.
Would you say it's how you do one thing, how you do everything?
Yeah. Yeah. There can be no deviation from the standard. Whatever your standard, whatever standard you set, and you have to maybe sit down and be honest with yourself and make a mission statement. This is what I want to do. These are my goals. these are my downfalls. This is something that I have to work on, and just put all that shit out there on paper. Just write it all out. These are my faults. This is what I want to get better. And then understand that you're not going to be great at everything. Pick things that you want to be okay at. Pick things that you want to be good at. Pick things that you want to be great at. And then find some balance. But at least have that discipline to make those goals. I could tell you that, you know, I'm great with, physical fitness. I'm good with, you know, my diet and discipline and that. And I'm okay with, doing like self-education and, you know, reading literature. Like, that's an example of, for me, that I know that I'm great, good, and I'm okay at.
Mm-hmm. And you just work on the areas you're okay at, and are you big on process and structure? I mean, do you put systems into place?
I don't.
Are you kind of like?
Yeah. So no, I don't put systems in my place, and it might work for some people, but I'm constantly aware. I evaluate and I think about something before I do it. What am I doing? And are there going to be any second and third order effects to this?
Right.
If I do this, you know, like, it's like playing chess. Like, what are the moves? You know, if I do this, X, Y, and Z could happen.
Well, I have a question for both of you. Lloyd was a professional boxer, and you fall in this category too. Where does it cross the line between being hardworking and just pushing through and being stupid? Like, I see a lot of people out there working out injured. I'm one of them. And then I hurt myself worse. Where's that line to you? Or do you even think about it?
Yeah, I've been injured. So to me, there's that threshold where if you're injured and you feel like actual sharp physical pain, then I stop. If they're in a workout and I could understand the difference between being hurt or injured. If I'm hurting, I'm still pushing through. If I'm injured, I'm going to stop. I've pulled my hamstring before where I couldn't even put weight on it. You know, I had tendonitis in my arms where I couldn't even open a doorknob. You know, so that,
and you know that that's a big difference from just being like, I'm suffering a little bit. I need to give up.
Yeah. That.
All right. So when you're injured, do you stop? What do you do?
I do, like, stop. I do.
You
stop
do. Wow.
Because I have foresight, and what is my long-term goal, and how will this affect my long-term goal? If I'm injured and my work, if I'm training, you know, and we're talking about like a real injury, you know, and if I'm trying to train through my injury, I'm only taken away from my long-term goal of, you know, being physically fit, being healthy, being able to train, having that longevity. And you got to have that foresight. A lot of young guys will try to push through the injuries because they think it's the right thing to do. They want to be tough, or they heard it somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm telling you right now.
Old guys do that too, Art.
Old guys do that too, yeah. Drop.
It can be a tough one to find that, the balance.
Well, it's just hard. Like, you know, you want to work out, right?
Yeah.
When
I was boxing, I even I actually had shingles at one point because I'd just overdone it so much, and I didn't listen to a trainer or my body, because I had the goal in sight. But then I was out of action for quite a while, and I felt terrible. So it bit me then.
All right. So the line seems to be the difference between an injury and just hurt.
Injury, hurt. Yeah, you have to listen to your body, and you have to understand that, you know what, you know, taking a couple of weeks to heal is not going to set you back. Continuously training injured and it's going to keep getting worse till that injury is going to put you out for 6 months. It's not worth it. So what do you want to do? You want to take a rest for 2 weeks, or you want to get injured for 6 months and then not being able to train? And that's what you know, that that IQ comes in, and you know, being mature about your training. Having that also takes discipline to pull back a little bit. You know, discipline goes both ways, and understanding that, you know what, I'm gonna you know, keep it a little bit light. I'm gonna heal up because I have a bigger goal in sight. If you just push through, I've pulled my hamstring so hard. I pulled my hamstring once, and I kept running on it, and then I was doing sprints, and I pulled it so hard that I never want to experience, you know, that kind of a pain again, where I felt like my hamstring like popped and like almost went into my ass, you know, like,
oh my God.
I don't know if you ever like pulled.
I feel like I can feel that right now that you've said that.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever pulled a hamstring, but that thing is not, is not fun. So,
no, and they take forever to heal.
They take forever to heal. It still nags me to this day sometimes when I'm doing sprints. I can kind of feel that like slight pull. And because I tore it and let it heal, that's a good life lesson, though. You know, like your body's telling you, like, hey, asshole. Like, I'm in charge.
That's a lesson I wouldn't
respect,
want.
Respect me.
Yeah. Like, don't forget who's in charge. You know, like, I'll put you down in a second.
So one thing I have to say, I hit the gym last week, and I haven't benched forever since basically I started doing your first challenge, and my bench went up.
Really?
It was actually crazy. That's to great. Think that I'm leaner, but my bench went up, and I haven't been lifting. So it was kind of just crazy.
Calisthenics can make you strong. High reps calisthenics will make you strong, too. There's a misconception that you can't get strong using body weight. That's not true at all.
Yeah, well, Lloyd, we were just checking out your pictures, and Lloyd was like, Jesus, dude, how much does he squat? I'm like, he doesn't squat. Like, he doesn't.
Yeah, you got some big, big, strong thighs there.
That's a lot of that
hamstrings.
A lot of that has to do with like the Marine Corps. Like, we're always carrying heavy shit on your backs. You know, you got to have that leg and lungs. Like we always say. Everything else is, you know, really bullshit. If you have strong lungs and you have strong legs, you know, like at least in the Marine Corps, that'll take you a long way. You know, that's like, it's like that real type of fitness where you could, you know, go for a while, you could throw, you know, 40, 50 kilos on your back and, you know, just let's lean forward. That's that stuff that you can't teach in the gym or you can't replicate. That's the stuff that you got to, you know, pay. You got to pay the man to get that kind of fitness, and it takes a while. It's not
money in the bank. Yeah,
it's not
money in the bank.
That's exactly what. That's what one of my old coaches used to say after like the big runs or the runs on the hills. You know, like you said, you've paid it in. It's money invested that you can't.
It is.
Only money can't buy it. That's right.
Well, how was this? Is a question that actually showed up on our app. You know, I asked the guys any questions you want me to ask the Iron Wolf, and one guy said, "How was the military different than how you expected it to be, and what changed in you after you joined?"
So I didn't really know much about the military when I joined. I just knew, you know, boot camp was going to be. You know, boot camp was going to be challenging. You know, it's like, you know, the kind of like that rite of passage when you go from becoming a civilian to a Marine. Before I went in, I thought I was going to get like, you know, slapped around and get like punched, you know, like what I seen like in the movies, you know, stuff like that. But that didn't happen. You know, I mean, it was intense, but you know, none of that stuff happened. So for some reason I thought that was going to happen. What I learned though, is that it's never about you, you know, whatever you do in the Marine Corps, it's not about you. It's always to the Marine, to the left and right of you. It's always about the team. It's always about, the institution. So you have to let that, you know, me thing. It's about me, how I feel. You got to throw that shit out the window because it's never about you. Remember that you volunteered to join. This is the institution that, you know, you vowed to, you know, protect and serve and go forward and do the sacrifice. So you have to be a man or woman of your word because you said you would do that. So take the word you out and, you know, put in Corps or team. Or, you know, my Marines, what I could do to, you know, better my squad, better my platoon. How can I help my command get better? So that's what quickly I learned, that everything you do has to, you know, feed into making the institution a better warfighting organization.
Was that a mind shift for you?
It was a little bit. It was, because you don't think like that, you know, especially as a young kid in the civilian world. You know,
how old were you when you signed up?
Yeah,
I was 20.
Yeah, so you were right on the going from youth to adulthood right there.
Yeah. But mentally, I was still very immature when I joined.
Were you?
Yeah, I was. Looking back at it, I really was. I didn't have much life experience.
Most 20-year-olds are walking around like, you know,
they're like the owner of the world.
Their ass. Yeah, they don't have a clue. So
yeah, having that sense of entitlement, you know, like, oh, I'm here. You should like listen to my opinion. You should listen to what I have to say. That shit goes out the window real quick as soon as you join. You get corrected, like you get a boot up your ass. Like, yeah, that stuff. Like, get that shit out of your head. It's not about you. Like,
so now that you shifted your mindset, what's it like for you back in civilian life? Do you have any different views now?
Well, I'm not back in civilian life. I'm
still, I guess not. You're almost living it, aren't you?
I'm still active duty. I've been in for 15 years. I'm going to do my 20 years and then I'm going to retire. I still have that mindset. And that's what I teach the younger Marines that come in. It's the same exact thing. You know, it's that cycle. You learn it, you live it. You know, a new crew on deck, and you pass it on to them, and you build them up so they could do the same thing. That's what it means to, you know, take care of the institution. You know, you preserve the core values, you practice them, and then you pass it on to others, because I'm not going to be in the Marine Corps forever. You know, it's their turn. So I got to set them up for success, and I got to protect the institution. That's what, you know, the loyalty is. That's having that discipline and having that mindset.
I meant to say it earlier, but I do thank you for your service. I mean, it's awesome. As an American, I'm really proud.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, nobody gives a fuck. When did that start? When did you start thinking that way? And when did you just start saying it?
You know, that was kind of actually pretty recent, like maybe 2019. You know, I didn't start my YouTube channel till 2019. Real quick, before we go into that saying, I was going to tell you how I started my YouTube channel. So,
yeah, well, I was heading there next anyway, so this is perfect.
Yeah, we're going to tie it in together. So I've been doing these routines for a long time. I had a really close friend that I served with in Afghanistan, and he'd been telling me for years. He's like, you should start a YouTube channel, because I would be the guy that trains the Marines. You know, I would come up, I would, you know, make the routines. I would PT them. I'd do them. Like, man, these workouts are sick. Like, they love it. They're getting, you know, really good. All their PT scores are going through the roof when they take their physical fitness test. And my friend's like, you should make a YouTube channel. Like, you know this shit.
That's cool.
He's like, you know this shit. And I'm like, no, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't want to do no YouTube. Like, I didn't even have social media. I was not interested at all.
Are you serious? You didn't have social media?
I did not have social media. I was not interested at all. I never posted anything. Till like that's 2019. Cool. Yeah. I did not care. Honestly, I had
been under the radar.
But cool. You're like, you're just like your workouts. When you do everything, it's gotta be a hardcore. You went from nothing to owning 150,000 subscribers.
People pay money for that to have that following. So that's impressive.
I had zero interest about social media. Could care less about YouTube or subscribers or anything. I'm telling you, girlfriend. And I wouldn't even like joke around with my friend. I'm like, get the fuck out of here! Like, I'm not doing that shit. Like, it's fucking lame. Like, this is stupid. Like, I'm a fuck. You know, like, I don't care. Like, whatever. Like, stop. And like, he would keep telling me and telling me and telling me. I served 2 years in Okinawa, Japan. They have some Marine bases there. So served my time over there, which Okinawa, Japan is really a really cool place. Served my time there, came back to the States. My friend's like, hey, welcome home. He's like, you should make a YouTube channel.
Wait, so does your friend have a YouTube channel, or is he just, this is all you?
He does not. He's like my hype man. He's a really good guy. Love him to death. Shout out to Bill Greason. He's a really good character. Really loyal.
Yeah, he definitely he needs a shout out.
He definitely he made needs it happen. He
yeah, shout out to Bill Greason.
Yeah.
And you know what? I said, you know what? Like, why not? I was like, whatever. Like, let me try. I didn't even know how to like create a like. I didn't know how like post a video. Like my first video that I posted, it was like, you know, on my cell phone, it was like that vertical, you know. it was trash. Like, I didn't know what to say into the camera. I'm like mumbling. I'm like, yeah, today we're gonna do it. We're like looking around. I was like, It was just like atrocious. He's just trash, like hot garbage.
Do you remember the workout?
Yeah, it was like a short clip of me doing like clapping burpees, which I haven't done.
All right.
But I was just like, let me first video, let me like, pull something out of my ass to make it like
make it the hardest, yeah, hardest session ever.
Yeah, I'm gonna make this shit spicy, so I'm gonna do some clapping burpees. That was the first one. And then I just started like slowly posting, and it just kind of like became a routine. Like I'm gonna work out, and I was like, that was his thing. He's like, you're already working out, you might as well record it. You're not doing anything extra. Just press record and do your workout. That's what he said. He's like, you don't have to do anything, just then upload it to YouTube. I was like, yeah, all right, let's try it, whatever.
And that's still the Iron Wolf then already, or had you not taken on?
No. And I'll tell you how the Iron Wolf name came also. No, I just used my fucking regular name, which was like probably good that I changed it, because like nobody like pronounced my last name, and they're like, hey, you know that YouTube channel? They're like, what is it? And I'm like, it's like Shvala, I don't know. Like,
I got to tell you, I practiced it coming into this podcast, and I said it perfectly every time. And now I'm in front of the Iron Wolf himself, and I'm and I can't get it out of my mouth.
Don't worry about it. Nobody could pronounce it. Yes.
All right. So Art from Brooklyn is doing clapping burpees.
Yeah. Like, or push ups. Burpees, doing like, started throwing in some of like my Marine Corps routines. Really popular one was like the warm up that we do in the Marines before we train. People love that. They're like, oh shit. Like, it's like, and you know me, like I'm very big on warming up and cooling down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always preach that. That is really the key to longevity, is warming up and cooling down. If you skip that shit, your body's going to get fucked up. If you go into a workout cold, you're hurting yourself. That's why I always. So I posted that, like, this is how we warm up in the Marines. It's like military style warm up. Yeah, and people love that shit. And the channel started to grow.
People started following you then?
Slowly. The subscribers, I reached like 1,000 subscribers and 2,000. And it was just, it was like a steady climb. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, this is nice. And people were commenting, like, this is fucking dope. Like,
Yeah.
And I'm like, awesome. Hell yeah. And like I seen like a lot of like-minded people. They're like, this is fucking awesome. Like, this is a real routine. There's no fucking music. There's like some fucking like weird like techno music. There's not like some like, like Jack douchebag saying that all he does is and he's clearly lying to you. He's like, yeah, I do this routine 3 times a week, and he's like fucking like juiced out.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah. I just do diamond push-ups. Like, and it's like never does the routine. So people identified with
it's real.
Yeah. People identified with like, hey, this dude is actually training.
Did you do the whole session?
And oh,
people
yeah.
just follow straight, along
the whole thing
straight through. Yeah. All my videos are always straight through. There's no editing. Like,
yeah.
And you see me fucking dying sometimes. I'd be like, fuck, like this sucks. Like,
no. You don't die like I die. You look good when you're doing it.
I'm dying inside, like slowly.
I'm like, that fucker just did this 500th one, and it looks the same as his first one.
Yeah.
That's
just a lot of practice, but. Yeah, I just started doing the routine straight through, and people appreciated that in the beginning. They really appreciated that, and I really liked that. So I just like, I'm not going to change the channel. I'm just going to, stay the same. I'm going to post full routines. I want people to see full routines. I want them to see how a full routine looks like. And sometimes it's not always good, and that's okay.
Right.
I want them to know that that's okay, because the thing now we have with this, social media world that the kids growing up and watching, they think everything is perfect, which it's not. They see these Instagram models, they see these like fitness models, and they start comparing themselves with them. They don't see the full story. They don't see the behind the scenes. They don't see that this is all just show business, and they're lying to them. So I wanted to be as real as possible and be like, hey, I'm this guy. I'm going to do this full routine. I'm going to push through it unedited. You could see I'm 100% transparent. I'm human. I don't look good in the end. So fucking what? It's okay. Do the work. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
All right. So you're growing slowly. You're still Art. Mm-hmm. And people are starting to, now you got like 2,000 followers. What happens then?
Yeah. So It continued to grow, and then I think maybe when I got 10,000 followers around that at that point, I changed my name to Iron Wolf. So how the name Iron Wolf came? So in the military, we go to these academies, right? Every time you pick up a new rank, you go to this academy, and these academies, they have an award for the Class Iron Man. The Class Iron Man is a physical fitness award that goes to the Marine that runs the highest physical fitness score and has the, and beats all the events. That and he comes first in all the events. Every course I went to, I won the Class Ironman Award.
Oh man!
Sometimes it's a certificate. Sometimes it's like this like trophy, and it's pretty cool for me. It meant a lot because like you know like I'm already in the Marines, and now I'm the fittest guy in the Marines.
Yeah. Like, so, of all the badasses, you're the baddest ass.
Yeah.
Yes. That's awesome. I'm like, this is dope. You know, Iron Man, Class Iron Man. I was like, hell yeah. My last course, I was just like, Class Iron Man, Distinguished Graduate. I was like, hell yeah, this is good. I gotta change my name. So, and even all the Marines called me Iron Man. They're like, yeah, this guy's like Iron Man. He doesn't get tired. Like, he puts us through these, like, routines. Iron Man, Iron Man. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to take the word Iron. I'm not going to use Iron Man because that's just like.
Because then you'd have to pay Disney.
Yeah, that's a Marvel. That's a Marvel
character. Yeah.
My whole life, I always liked the wolf as an animal because, you know, the wolf, it could operate by itself, but it also operates with the pack, you know. Yeah, yeah. So if the pack goes hunting, they go hunting together. If the wolf needs to go take care of business, he's the lone wolf, and he could go take care of that business, and he always knows that he could return to the pack. So to me, I really like that concept because you should be able to operate by yourself, but if you need a good group of people to rely on, you should always have that in your back pocket. You should always have good people around you.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, don't be afraid to go out and be that lone wolf and venture. It's okay. But, you know, always have a good support system just in case you got to call the boys and fuck some shit up.
Right? Man, I don't want to be around his boys. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's a serious wolf pack.
Exactly.
Yeah, the wolf pack. So, and I always like this quote, you know, it goes like this. The lion and the tiger might be more powerful, but the wolf never performs in the circus.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I love that quote. Like, that is something that, you know, we all have something that resonates with us that we hear and we get kind of like those goosebumps and we're like, hell yeah, you know, yeah. Like this talks to me, that speaks to me. That quote speaks to me because I'm never going to be the one that performs in the circus and I'm never the one that's going to conform to bullshit in the end. That's really what it comes down to. And that's what kind of my channel is about, you know.
So you rebranded that channel?
Yeah, I just changed the name to it came together. I'm like, you know, Iron Wolf. Like that sounds dope. I like how that sounds.
Yeah. You just decided to do that one day.
Yeah, like, yeah. I was thinking about it. So I was thinking about like, man, like I need to just change. Like I just need to change my channel name. This is like this ain't.
Like, well, what was your channel name before?
It was just my name.
It was your name.
Yeah, it was Arthur Schwarzberg, and I was like. That's it. And like, people aren't going to remember that. That's what I think. Like, you know, if people watch my channel, I want them to automatically spit out my channel name if they talk to others about it. They'd be like, yeah, you know that guy, Iron Wolf? Like, yeah, that's easy to remember. Then, you know, saying like, you know, that guy like Arch Fart, like, fuck, what's his name? Like, and then they try to search it, you know, and it's like, no, like he's not even coming up. Like, fuck it. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, the logo, everything. You've got this knack for branding for a guy who wasn't even trying to do it, but it just looks cool as anything. That logo is great. Nobody gives a fuck. Rep City. Yeah. I mean, all of these things. It's just great branding. Did that all just come organically? Or
right here. Right out of here.
Yeah?
Yeah, right out of here. The logo, I work with a graphic designer. I paint as like I decided like you, if you see this logo right here, that's my face in the wall.
Yeah, damn, that's great.
Yeah, that's my fucking profile.
So what did you do? Send them a picture of your profile?
Yeah, I was like, yeah. We kind of work with the wolf. First, we had like a wolf facing head on. I was like, I don't like it. It's too So I'm a simple guy. I was like, it's too much, right? You want the logo that you could put on anywhere and it's going to be simple. Like the Nike logo, right? Nike has the simplest logo. Anybody in the world could look at the Nike logo and say, that's Nike. Or Adidas, right? Or Apple. It's the simplest logos that are the most powerful. Clean. Yeah, that's clean, right. Simple. So I was like, I just want like a profile of a wolf head, you know, that you could put on shirts, merch, you know, mugs, whatever, you know, whatever I sell. It's easy to make and people will remember it. People see this and they know like this is Iron Wolf.
So did you start with the logo at the time that you rebranded? Did you have the logo or did that come later?
That came later. The logo and the merch actually came when I was about at like 50,000 subscribers.
That's when I found you.
Yeah. I already had the logo. I was like, okay, this is growing. Once again, my boy, Bill Greason, he's like, hey, like,
we all need a Bill Greason.
Yeah,
we all need a Bill Greason. I mean, like, he's like, yo, your channel is growing. He's like, did you ever think about like making a logo, like selling merch? I was like, I don't know. I just want to do burpees. Like, I'm like a fucking.
We more willing to listen to him at this stage though.
Yeah,
50,000 followers. Yeah.
I you know what, I do listen to him all the time. Love him to death. I do listen to him. He's kind of like a mentor. He's a little bit older than me. When we were in Afghanistan, he was my staff sergeant. I was a corporal, so he was always the kind of he was a friend / you know, mentor type. Cool.
Kind of like a big brother.
Yeah, kind of a big brother, but he always seen potential in me, and he guided me a lot through my Marine Corps career. And you know, I made a lot of mistakes. You know, we all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect, and he kind of helped me, you know, smooth out, you know, the edges a little bit, and you know, guide me in the right direction. Always gave me solid advice, his opinion, everything like that. And then you know, back at it, he's like, you should make a logo. People need to look at a logo and know like that's Iron Wolf. He said you need to sell merch. People are gonna want to buy merch because they want to be associated, you know, with your idea. It's about having that idea.
They want to be part of the pack.
Yeah,
they want to be part of the pack. They say they want to put on that nobody gives a fuck T-shirt and they want to fucking train just like you do. So. You know, he should be a good marketing man, honestly. Like, this is the conversation that we had, and I was like, all right. And I'm always, like, the slowest to conform. I'm, like, really stubborn. I'm like, first I was like, I don't want to sell any shirts, whatever. Like, I just want to do burpees, like, and whatever happens. And he's like, no. And so he put me in touch. He did the legwork. He put me in touch with the graphics designer. And he's like, all right, let's talk. So
I love this guy.
Yeah.
This guy's awesome.
Yeah, I can't take credit for everything. So, yeah, so worked with the graphic designer, made the logo, continue to train. Now, this is like, I at that time, I was deployed in the Middle East. When you found me, I was in Kuwait, and I was bouncing back between Kuwait, and I was doing some stuff in Iraq at that time.
So
I
didn't have doing it all while you're on the kind of on the move with
I was, stuff. Like, yeah,
you're
I
not,
was.
You're not at home like a no, like, a, I like spent a normal it. YouTube guy like in his on his laptop.
No,
sorting and editing stuff. And
I was in the Middle East for 11 months, pretty much during like the whole pandemic when you found me, and I was cranking out. I was cranking out routines like in my little barracks room. I remember when you saw me. Like,
yeah, I remember that.
I had like this much fucking space, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
actually made me feel good because I felt like I'm in jail. Just like, at least I'm not this guy.
Yeah. It sucks. Like, this much space, like fucking banging my elbow on the fucking bed. Like I was pissed. Like, there's like, you know, but like, you know, we get it done though. No excuses. Like, I just need this much space. I'm going to make it happen, whatever. Sometimes I would go outside. It was like 104 degrees over there in the Middle East. I was fuck. Wow. I was like, my phone would overheat a lot. Like when I would try to record workouts, it would just stop. I'd be like, fuck it, whatever. Like this.
Oh my God.
People don't see that side of it.
No.
Yeah, they don't. It's like really frustrating. Like you're working out and then like you look at your phone and it's like off. You're like, fuck. All right.
That's pretty much how you record all your stuff, right? You just set your phone up and you go, right?
Yeah, that's it. I don't need anything else. I don't edit my videos, so I don't need anything fancy.
Maybe put a title up or something and that's it.
Yeah, that's it. I always want to put out full routines. I think there's some value in that, and people seeing, you know, from start to finish, being able to at least know, even if they don't, I know they don't watch, you know, an hour of like, you know, training, and I get it, but at least they know that someone's doing it for real.
I won't lie. I fast forward through it just to see if you look the same in the end as you do the beginning. Because it's just like, I'm not going to watch the middle part. I'm going to see how he starts. But I'm always shocked. You're still going at the same freaking pace at the end. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, just the consistency is crazy. All right. So you're sitting in a barrack in Kuwait, designing an Iron Wolf logo with your designer and saying, I need merch, baby, in Kuwait.
Yeah.
I don't know how many shirts you've sold, but judging from what I see on all your channels, people love that shit.
They love the shirts. They love the shirts. So I've been working with a graphics designer. We design the stuff. We kind of look it over. I work with Teespring. Teespring is really helpful with that stuff. Yeah, I just come to idea like, hey, I want to maybe like make this design, and then, you know, I have a very special woman in my life. Her name is Iman. She's a graphics designer. Oh, that's great. Yeah, so, you know, we work together. She supports me a lot too. She's kind of she came into my life, and you know, it's been great. Without her, you know, it would be a lot more harder. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. She's part of it as well.
All right. So you're at 50,000. I remember around then, I think you had done already one challenge, but you've become famous for these challenges that are just beastly. What made you do the challenges? And that, I think that really blew you up. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it definitely helped, because I think, number one, people just like the free content. So they get a free workout challenge. They subscribe. People always like free shit, right? I mean, why not? Everybody does.
It's a crazy amount of value. Like, you just go in there and train with you.
Yeah, I've been putting out monthly challenges. It's not every month, you know, it's every couple of months. I'll put a full training program out for free. I'll break it down by advanced, beginner, and intermediate for all the people. And I just fucking put it out there. It's different workouts, different routines. I know how to program workouts. They're structured really well. You know, they have everything in them, not just burpees. You know, people think I just do burpees, which is not true, because I do pull-ups and kettlebells, you know, and leg exercises and core and running. You know, and that's all programmed into the challenges. They're very well-rounded. It takes me a lot of time to sit down and kind of, you know, structure a good training plan. I really put in the work because I want the really polished and professional product to get put out to the people. And one, because it has my name on it, and I value what I put out there with my name. It's a direct reflection of me. So I'm never going to put out any kind of bullshit to the people.
It must take you a while to come up with these programs, because they're pretty in-depth and they're three different levels.
It does. Yeah, it does. But I don't mind. I enjoy doing that stuff. And then I enjoy when people, you know, finish the challenge and they're like, holy shit, like, I became, you know, so much fitter, I look so much better, you know, like, thank you, because a lot of people just don't know how to program. And I know that feeling where you want to start, but you just don't know where or how to, because you just don't know. You don't know what you don't know, and it's like, oh man, like, this is a lifesaver. Like, somebody's like put out an example of what a real training plan looks like. They'll take it. They'll go through it, and then at least they'll have a good baseline, a good stepping stone of how you should work out.
Yeah, that's a life changer. If they, you know, if someone loses weight and or just even gets them started, then you've changed the game for them.
Yeah, without needing any equipment, really, for most of his workouts.
Yeah, you just need some basic equipment. You know, pull-up bar, dip bar, maybe a kettlebell. You know, that's if you want to take it to the next level. I mean, I've been in places where I didn't even have nothing. I just had the floor, and I would figure it out.
But since I have you, the wolf himself, I'm going to ask you this. What's your, because you called me out the other day, not me personally, but I felt personally attacked. You said, if you can do 500 burpees and 20 hanging pull-ups, then you've got an imbalance. I'm like, well, that's me. But part of the reason I can do 500 burpees is because I'm fucking slow. That's why I do 500 burpees.
Yeah.
So the question comes down to speed. Like, what's your view on heart rate and how hard you should be going? Because, I mean, look, I can do 2,000 burpees if you give me long enough. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It's like, how do you view that? I mean, do you have a philosophy there?
Yeah. So, you know, you should have some kind of intensity in your training.
Yeah.
Dude, your heart rate should be elevated. And if you don't have a lot of time, then try to make your workouts more intense. Because we all know that, you know, when you're going slow, right, and you're just dragging shit out, you're not going to get the same benefit.
Yeah.
As, you know, doing something with a lot more speed and intensity.
Should you be going anaerobic or is it just under that?
You should be going almost anaerobic in your workout. Okay.
Oh, there it is.
You should be.
So I should be like at 160, 162.
Yeah, you should be pushing yourself like right into the next rep, least. So here's like the magic formula. Least amount of rest possible while still maintaining good form.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's what you got to understand. And maintaining good form will make you stronger. Being stronger will make you fitter, which will make your workouts go much faster because you're doing more work in less time.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome.
And after those sessions where you've done it properly, you know that you've done it properly. Right. You know, yeah. Yeah. When you know, yeah, you've trained at the right intensity, you know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've been trying to go for speed at least three of those. I'm 51, Art. I'm still, yeah,
you're still young though.
I'm still grinding.
You're still putting in work.
Though. I'm still
putting in the work.
51 is still young, I think. I mean, you're still training. But yeah, you should feel like you actually got a workout. You know, you should feel
if it's a wolf workout, I got a workout, no doubt about it. I'm dripping.
You know, and don't think about the numbers. You know, it's all like the people that are listening. Don't get your mind wrapped around the numbers. Oh, I have to do 500. I have to do 1,000. I have, you know, whatever. Do what you could do with good form and good speed and intensity, and that's it.
Right.
And that's it. And a lot of people time their workouts. Like I did 500 burpees in X amount of time. I don't even time my workouts. I never do a workout and say like, oh, I did it in this amount of time. I don't care. I really don't. I don't. Honestly, I don't.
You just go by feel.
I train hard, yeah, and that's it. That's it. I already know my pace. I know when to turn it up. I know when to kind of, you know, pull back a little bit and then turn it back up again to get a really good result. You know, pacing is also important, but that's like another topic. You know, pacing is extremely important.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm telling you right now, the only time I care about is the 3-mile run that we have to do for a Marine Corps physical fitness test.
How fast do you have to do that?
Yeah, how fast?
One of our events. So to get a perfect score, you have to get an 18-minute 5K.
Shit.
That's
fast. Oh, no, the 5K. So that's 3.2 miles. Oh, 18. Yeah, that's huffing.
That's very good.
3.1 miles. Yeah. That's huffing it, yeah.
So I ran a 17:58 last year.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that to me is important. So that's what people are like, oh, what about the time? No, that's the only important time to me.
Okay. Yeah, when someone's really, you know, done a 5K in 40 minutes or something, it's not that impressive. but that's not much of an intensity. But like, but that's it.
Yeah, you're going, miles.
Yeah, that's going, putting your foot down on the pedal.
Yeah, yeah, running. Running is painful, honestly.
My goal is to qualify for the Navy SEAL test, and I've got it, except for the pull-ups. I can't do it. So I'm falling short. I've hit every other time.
What's the pull-up number?
And thanks to you, because I couldn't do the push-ups, and then with all those burpees, now I can do the push-ups.
Are you maxing out the Navy SEAL test?
What's that?
Are you maxing it out?
I'm 51, mother. I'm not maxing it out.
Are you questioning
his intensity? Like, but I'm doing it. Like, that's not the point.
I'm just curious. Maybe you're like crushing the swim.
No, I'm nowhere near maxing it out. I'm barely squeaking by. Everyone, I'm making it by 1 second.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Not like I'm passing anyway because I can't fucking do the pull up, so it doesn't matter. All right. So what I wanted to ask you is the Marines are not an easy bunch. How do your fellow Marines think about your newfound fame?
They love it, honestly. They love it, especially the younger crowd that, you know, grew up with social media. They're always, you know, on that stuff. They love it. They think it's great. They think it's a good representation of, yeah, you know, the Marine Corps. They do the routines as well. They're about it. Everybody supports me in my unit. They all know.
They're trying to get a shout out from you?
No,
nobody cares.
That's not important to them. I have Marines stop me. You know, people like want to take a picture with me. Some of the
other that's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
Really awkward because I'm not that type of guy, honestly.
It shows it's legit though.
It's like, legit, totally. Yeah,
that you're, you know, you're not just somebody who says they're who's got a pair of camouflage.
I've seen a lot of these young guys saying, "Hey, I'm trying to qualify for the Marines, or I'm getting ready to go into the Marines," and they use your course. So to them, I mean, you got them there.
Yeah, it'll help. Awesome. It'll help for sure. A lot of my programming has helped. Not just U.S. Marines, but a lot of, you know, people all over the world that are trying to join their country's militaries or special forces. It has helped because I know, because I get the feedback after months after, like, I passed my selection. Thank you so much. It was so much easier, you know, doing your stuff.
That's cool.
I didn't even feel worked some of the training events.
That's awesome. All right. So, Art, you're 15 years in. You said you want to go 20 and then retire. What's then? Are you, you're kind of you're an influencer now. So, that's an open direction, or are you going to do something else? Where do you think this is going?
Well, you know, that's a hard question, because that's something that, you know, it always plays in the back of my mind as I come closer to retirement. I would continue to do this YouTube thing until I don't want to do it anymore. And I have no problem letting it go and saying, I'm just going to leave my channel up there. People could do the workouts, whatever, but I'm not posting anymore. Another option for me is I go back to New York. I don't know. I want to continue, you know, live my life, maybe open up some kind of business. I have family in New York. I don't know. Maybe continue to serve in a civil capacity. Maybe I always wanted to be a firefighter.
Really?
I thought that, yeah. Wow. Yeah. As a kid, I wanted to be a firefighter. I just didn't go because I just wanted to leave Newark and go, you know, just go serve, go somewhere away and kind of get that adventure as a young man. But I mean, it's still something that I like to do. I think it's a great job. I like the idea of being, you know, a civil servant, helping others continue to serve in some kind of capacity. So that's an option for me as well right now.
So you're just going to play it by ear, keep doing it until you're not having fun anymore. And then when 5 years from now it comes around, you're going to figure out what to do then.
Yeah, because there's really no end game with this influencer thing.
Yeah.
You know, you keep going, okay, you get 1 million subscribers, you get 2 million, and then what? Like, I don't want to post videos, you know, for the rest of my life, like, on YouTube. I really don't.
You don't?
I'm 100% transparent with that. And do I want to be known as an influencer? I don't know. I'd rather be a firefighter. That's more, that has more value to me, honestly, than being an influencer.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I consider you more of a creator. Influencers are like, just look at me, look at me, look at me.
I don't even know what the word is.
You're not taking photos on the beach.
Exactly. It's like glamour shots. You're like, no, you're making stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, I'm just a dude that works out, and I post. I mean, that's I'm just a Marine who trains, and I share my stuff with other people, and that's it. And then once I don't
make killer T-shirts.
Yeah. T-shirts. and then when I stop doing that, you know, it's not the end all be all, you know, it's not where I hang my hat. You know, this is just, you know, maybe, you know, a period in my life where, I'm going to do it, and then that's it. You got to be okay with letting things go and just being honest with yourself.
For sure. That's awesome. Well, Art, thanks a lot for your time. This has been really, I mean, I'm super psyched because when I first started this podcast, it was basically, if I can get Iron Wolf on there, I've made it. And no problem. this has been fantastic. Yeah. Thanks for everything.
Yeah, that's inspiring as well. I'm not going to lie. It's made me want to do some burpees.
You're in shape, man. Yeah, his
workouts are good. You should check him out. I mean, he's got some killer workouts too.
What's your IG?
I'm on Instagram. It's Lightning Lloyd.
I'm gonna write that down in my phone.
Lightning Lloyd and the Iron Wolf. a collab coming on.
Lightning Lloyd. All right, I got you right here.
I'll send it to you, Art. Well, thanks a lot, Art. We really appreciate it. And thanks for everything you've done and also for your service. You've been awesome. I really appreciate it.
I'm going to have two last shout-outs real quick. Big shout-out again to Bill Greason, my friend. And then a big shout-out to Iman. That's my woman. I love you. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for putting up with me and making all these dope graphics.
That's awesome.